to another edition of I'm a Public Health Professional, Get Me Out of Here. And over the next few minutes, I can promise you no clever dog acts, no Simon Cowell, and no mentions of Chris Evans and Top Gear. Well, not after that one. Instead, we'll be casting the usual eye over what's been going on in the world of public health. And we start with a cool £200 million being shaved off the budget allocated to local authorities for 2015-16. George Osborne hardly had time to put down his celebratory glass of bubbly before he announced £3 billion in public service cuts, including what amounts to 7.4% of the annual public health budget. The Treasury claimed that the amount has been based on projected local authority underspends and will not affect frontline services, to which the obvious reply is, what do they consider a frontline service? You can bet local authority staff, such as environmental health practitioners, trading standards officers and town planners, aren't included in the calculation, along with another raft of staff whose job has the knock-on effect of keeping people out of hospital. Strikes me that the act of ring-fencing the NHS budget, which on the face of it seems fair enough, as it stops some other ministers dipping in the pot and using it for their means. The downside, though, is that it gives the impression that everything inside the fence is untouchable and everything outside it is dispensable. If only everything was so simple, George. What goes on outside the fence has a great say on how many people end up inside it, using that ring-fenced budget. If you only spend your money on treating people when they get sick instead of helping them to stay well, it's not surprising you've got nothing but sick people battering the door down to A&E. That's not to blame those people working hard within the fence, as they know the problems only too well. NHS England Chief Executive Simon Stevens called smoking the new obesity recently, pointing out that one in five cancer deaths are caused by the habit. Alcohol, fatty foods, poor air quality, take your pick of those things that have a massive influence on the NHS workload, but are currently seen as unimportant by Westminster, meaning there is unfortunately going to be a whole lot worse to come until anything shows signs of getting better. As well as the public health budget, the government have also come under fire from 80 major British companies who penned a letter to Prime Minister David Cameron recently calling for decisive action on climate change. The signatories, who include energy company E.ON, major retailers John Lewis and Tesco, as well as telecom giants BT and Sky, say that action now would create jobs and boost the UK's competitiveness in the global market. They warn that failure to act now could put the economic recovery at risk. Under current targets, the UK aims to reduce emissions by at least 80% by 2050, using 1990 as a baseline. The letter calls for ministers to set an ambitious fifth carbon budget from 2028 to 2032 and to introduce clearer long-term policies to encourage investment in low-carbon energy. Talking of which, planning officers in Lancashire look to have opened the door to the fracking revolution once more by approving a plan by energy company Quadrilla to explore for shale gas at one site on Preston New Road near the village of Little Plumpton, provided conditions covering noise, hours of work and traffic are met. Councillors look set to follow suit at Lancashire County Council's Development Control Committee, making it the first time fracking has been allowed in the UK since a ban on the controversial practice was imposed in 2011 after earth tremors near Blackpool. The ban was subsequently lifted in 2012, but despite government backing, no fracking sites have been approved up until now. The Law Society in Scotland have said what we've been thinking this week, stating that the proposed ban on smoking in cars where children are present could prove difficult to enforce. Police Scotland have also raised concerns about just how their officers are going to do the job. The force say that whilst they support the bill, their major priority is preventing road deaths. Like many pieces of soundbite legislation, the difficulties of consistent enforcement are likely to make it pretty ineffective. You only have to look at the mobile phone ban for that one. This week I was driving behind a large lorry that was veering from left to right in the middle lane of the M25, finally plugging up the courage to overtake. And yes, what did I notice as I looked through my rear view mirror? The driver having an in-depth conversation on his mobile. Unless you're a police officer in the right place at the right time, you've got no chance. Noticed it was Health and Safety Week last week. Thought not. A quick Google search, which is as good as anything as an international mark of effective publicity, found one article from the Gloucestershire Echo asking, what has health and safety ever done for us? Well, fatal accidents are down. Well, yeah, I know, but okay, apart from fatal accidents, well, there are still 535,000 cases of work-related ill health and occupational diseases every year. Yeah, but apart from the fatal accidents and the workplace illnesses and diseases, then there's the $14.2 billion cost of injuries and ill health at work, and yeah, okay, I think we get the picture. It's a shame that a week to concentrate on a few of those facts went unnoticed, bearing in mind that Health and Safety Executive won an award from the Institute of Promotional Marketing recently for their very successful Beware Asbestos campaign. Aimed at raising awareness of asbestos in the workplace, it included the distribution of 200,000 asbestos safety kits containing quick guide cards and protective Type 5 overalls from TradePoint stores throughout the country. A Beware Asbestos app was also developed to help identify where asbestos might be found and give advice on how to manage the risks. It's estimated that 20 tradesmen a week still die as a result of historic asbestos exposure, while the National Unions of Teachers say that 80% of schools still contain some asbestos material, with up to 300 teachers and former pupils dying every year as a result of coming into contact with the material. Finally on this edition, and sticking with health and safety, it really has gone mad at a Plymouth primary school, where they've banned pupils from doing cartwheels and handstands at break times in case they injure themselves. Staff at the Old Priory Primary Academy in Plymouth have stopped children from participating in what they call gymnastic activities during break times after several pupils received minor injuries trying out the stunts. The school, which teaches over 250 pupils, took the decision to ban the moves because they were beyond the children's capabilities. Well, that's it for this edition, and especially for the kids in Plymouth. Have this one on us. See you soon. Here is written, presented and produced by Pete Hill. All comments made are purely personal and do not relate to any other body. This podcast is protected by a Creative Commons licensing. Unauthorised reproduction for commercial gain is strictly prohibited.